Kind of do things just a little bit differently tonight. We've done this in the past and thought I would do it again. Julie and I both graduated from high school in Mexico, Missouri. I've said that before. And that's in the middle part of the state of Missouri. And then after graduating from high school, moved down to Springfield, Missouri, which is in the southwestern part of the state, and attended there a university called Southwest Missouri State University. In that day and time, we called it SMS. And my sister graduated 2 years after I did, not from Southwest Missouri State, but from Missouri State University, as it is still known today. Well, Southwest Missouri State University, the campus is large, and when I was in school, it was 20,000 for student body, so pretty big campus, pretty big university, probably bigger now. And there's a really nice parking lot. In fact, there are several nice parking lots because you have to have somewhere to park at that many people. There's a parking lot that was right off of one of the main intersections, and I was told that in that parking lot, what is now a parking lot, there used to be a church building. And it was known as the South National Church of Christ building. The South National Church of Christ met there. And I remember hearing that there was a former preacher there by the name of L.O. Sanderson. L.O. Sanderson was a great gospel preacher. But we know him better as a musician, as a hymn writer, and one who composed a lot of the songs that we love so much. And so tonight we're going to be singing exclusively Lloyd Otis Sanderson hymns. Again, these are going to be well known to you. As I was preparing for this, I came across an autobiography that Brother Sanderson wrote. And so I just want to share with you a little bit about Brother Sanderson and some things that you may say, well, that's interesting, or other things you may say, well, I don't really care about that, but be that as it may, I'm going to read a little bit. He said, "My parents were James P. and Lucy Ann Hunt Sanderson. I was born May the 18th of 1901 near Jonesboro, Arkansas, in the old log house of the home place my father inherited. I was to be the middle of five children. My father was a singing teacher. Because he was not allowed to have musical instruments as a young man, he vowed that when he had a family of his own, his children would have access to instruments. During my time at home, we had a piano, an organ, violin, guitar, mandolin, harmonica, and a jew's harp. We all learned to sing and play early in life. I was taught to note read at age five by my mother. Before that, I sang much by rote. This really was my first exposure to the theory of music. My father soon began to teach me song leading. However, with 55 years difference in our ages, my father soon tired of the job of teaching and playing with us. At age four, I entered public school. Having weighed 13 pounds, 8 ounces at birth, I was large for my age, you don't say. Besides that, there were no age limitations or entrance in those days. By age six, I was beginning the fourth grade. It did not take long for me to complete the eighth grade. In a one-teacher school, we were allowed to go as fast as we could, and I was, quote, an eager beaver. Of course, I was too young to quit school after the eighth grade, so I continued another year." And he goes on and he talks about some more of his life. He goes on to talk about his 4 years of music work and picking cotton in order to make some cash for schooling. He completed schooling. He said, "Father died soon after, and I elected to be with my mother and the two younger children. We moved to Bono, a small town on the Frisco Railroad. I became the choir director for the First Methodist Church and worked for the Bono Mercantile Company part-time. My father belonged to the Methodist Church. Mother was a member of the Church of Christ. There was a congregation of Christians in Bono, so she was pleased to move there. When I came home in 1919, I decided to finish my high school work and did so at the Bono High School. Not long after, I learned and accepted the truth of God concerning salvation. My older brother and younger sister were members of the church, along with our mother. I had previously declined to listen." I thought this was interesting. "Through a good friend, Robert Cherry, the main clerk at Bono Mercantile, I finally came to know and love the truth that makes men free. This meant the end of choir directing for the Methodist Church, and soon after the work at the Mercantile. But I began to get calls to lead singing in gospel meetings and really did not miss any work at all. The local Church of Christ immediately employed me to direct singing for a big tent meeting, and other calls came in plentifully. In Harper, Kansas, I'm going to finish here. At Harper, Kansas, I met Rena Ray Woodring, a sister of the Harper College librarian, and we began dating. She came to Harding in the fall of 1923, and we began to make plans. She took school teaching work from 1925 till 1927, and we were married August the 29th of 1927. We stayed one more year at Harding for Rena to finish her bachelor's work, and then went to Springfield, Missouri to serve the church. We were there for 7 years and returned in 1950 for another 9 years. So they were in Springfield for a total of 16 years. They would have a son and a daughter. I fast forward a lot. He ended up being, for a time, the editor of the Gospel Advocate in Nashville, Tennessee. Did a lot of work with music through the Gospel Advocate. He lived to be 91 years old. He passed away in 1992. I found it interesting that they had a daughter who passed away August the 2nd of 1984, and then his wife died 13 days later. After their daughter died, his wife died 13 days later. The story is that she and him, Brother Sanderson and Sister Sanderson, were crossing a street and they were struck by a vehicle. And Sister Sanderson died 13 days after their daughter. Brother Sanderson was left crippled for the rest of his life, but that took place in 1984. He would pass away in 1992. He actually remarried in 1988 at the age of 88 and was married for 4 years until he passed away. And so there's some interesting things there as you examine someone's life. And I just thought it was a very interesting thing to read. Now, when it comes to songwriting, which is what we're doing and looking at tonight, he says, I wrote my first song at age 14, but it really wasn't worth publishing. During the latter teens of the century, a number of my compositions were published by Hildebrand Burnett Company and Hartford Music Company. For 4 years, I was part of a quartet made up of my brother and me and two others. He said, I have written some 500 songs and hymns. The better part of my writings appeared in hymnals and songbooks after the year 1934. And we are not here tonight to worship Brother Sanderson, but as part of our worship to God tonight, we are going to focus on songs that Brother Sanderson wrote. If you want to advance, James, to the next slide. What I did was break it up into four parts tonight. I believe 9 songs total. But I think it's interesting, as we think about the songs that Brother Sanderson wrote, what we can do is break it down into these parts. Number one, the songs that we're going to sing, a couple of them that you see, really remind us of what God has done for us. And what I want us to really focus on tonight in a sermon, singing sermon like this, is I hope what it will do is it gives us a little background on the one who wrote it, and then it really helps us to be better in tune, perhaps, with the words that we're singing. I understand that singing is not everyone's favorite. Maybe it's not everyone's favorite as it is mine, but I really enjoy it. And I think that this is a good way, as we teach and admonish one another tonight in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, that we're going to use Brother Sanderson to do this. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 19. This first song is All Things Bright and Beautiful. And the words remind me of Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. And again, we'll be reading some passages and then we'll be singing together. Psalm 19 and verse 1. The heavens are telling or declare the glory of God, and the expanse or the firmament is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens and its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. As we think about all things bright and beautiful, all things that God has created, we are reminded that we are living in His world. And I think that's a beautiful reminder. The second hymn that I want us to consider along these points of what God has done for us, the words, "The Lord has been mindful of me." Now, Brother Sanderson had this to say about that particular song, "The Lord has been mindful of me." He says, "When I was converted in 1922, I first thought I had made a sacrifice. He says, I left a good work, providing good pay and good friends and boosters with an opportunity to receive worthy promotion. I was involved in fundraising for the Methodist Church with a goal of $75 million for mission work. But I left that and became a member of the church, which had suffered brunts from denominationalism everywhere." But then he says this, "I didn't really sacrifice, though. I didn't miss a week's worth by the change. I found so many true associations. I had 1,000 mothers in spiritual Israel. I had brothers and sisters by the thousands who were nearer and dearer than flesh kin. I was led into endeavors that far outstripped what I had been doing. I decided I'd been wonderfully blessed. With this feeling, I wrote, 'The Lord has been mindful of me.'" You can see this story in the lyrics. "In the days of shadow, troubles, and darkness, the Lord has still been mindful. More than any grief, sorrow, adversity, or sacrifice, I have been blessed. I'm rich, I'm saved, I'm happy, in good health, prosperous in many ways, homes open to me and friends of greater value than all the wealth of the world. Indeed, God blesses and blesses again. And this was the song of my heart. The Lord has been mindful of me." Let us sing these two songs together.
The little flower that opens, the little bird that sings, God made their glowing colors, He made their tiny wings. All things bright and beautiful, creatures great and small,
the Lord has been mindful of me. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day, this wonderful time that we can come and worship you together as a family. We thank you for everything. Be with those who have cancer. If it be your will, help them to get better. Lord, we thank you for everything that you've given us, all the many blessings. Especially you seeing your son die on the cross. We know that he could have said no and sent down 10,000 angels, but he didn't. He stayed on the cross for us so that we could go and live with you forever. And we thank you for everything. And in Christ's name we pray, amen.
I don't know that I have a favorite section, but these three songs in particular have helped us so much through the years in our remembering Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. There are three songs that we're going to sing in this particular section, and then we'll have opportunity if anybody was not able to partake the Lord's Supper. We'll do so after the singing of these three songs. But as you sing these songs, as you think about Brother Sanderson writing about the cross, composing the music that would go with these words, and again, just think through the years how many times you have sung one of these three songs in preparation for the Lord's Supper and the great benefit that these are to us as we think about Jesus and what he has done for us. He loves me. 'Tis set the feast divine, and thus remember me. And as we sing, let us remember the words as we're singing them. Let us think about Jesus and his sacrifice for us. And we thank Brother Sanderson for providing them to us. Let's sing these songs together.
Why did the Savior heavenly leave and come to earth below? Where men his grace would not receive, because he loves me so. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me, because he loves me so. Why did the Savior mark the way, and why
These words before we think about Jesus and partaking the Lord's Supper. Thus remember me. 1 Corinthians 11, Brother Allen read for us this morning. All of that comes to our minds.
Jesus on the
one of the emblems, a package for emblems tonight to take the Lord's Supper. If you need those, would you raise your hand? Before we take the bread, let us pray. Father, we pray that you would help us to remember Jesus, to remember the sacrifice that he made for our sin, to set before us the feast that you have put in place. A feast that reminds us every Lord's Day as we worship you what Jesus has done for us in giving of himself on the cross for our sin. Father, as we contemplate the cross and the sacrifice of our Savior tonight, we pray your blessings on this bread representing his body and on those who will partake now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being rich in mercy and grace, goodness and kindness, patience. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the love that brought Jesus down, the love that took him through life and to the cross ultimately to shed his blood for our sin. We thank you for the plan of salvation that you always had in mind, a plan to bring about our being sinners, though able to be right with you. We know that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness available. So we thank you for our Savior who gave himself. We know, Father, that Jesus had no sin of which he committed, but he died for us. Father, we pray that you'd help us to never forget that he has saved us from the wrath to come by the shedding of his precious blood. May we never take this for granted. May it never become mundane or unimportant to us. Father, may we focus on Jesus and the cross. We thank you so much for loving us as you do. In his name we pray. Amen. We have four songs left tonight and just a couple of verses of the final four songs. This third section I've entitled Our Proper Response to What Jesus Has Done, and I think it's fitting, given what we've just remembered concerning Jesus and the cross, that there is a proper way for us to respond to the cross. That ultimately the cross does us no good unless we properly respond to what Jesus has done, and we would not want his death for us to be in vain. And so tonight I want you to consider the songs that we're going to sing, where the first one is such a beautiful hymn, Bring Christ Your Broken Life. And if you have your Bibles, if you would just humor me for a moment and turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, I want to just think about the Apostle Paul for a moment. And I don't know exactly what Brother Sanderson had in mind as he was writing these words, but I think about Bring Christ Your Broken Life. In fact, if you will notice on the next slide, that it's Brother Sanderson who more wrote the music, and the words came from a friend of his by the name of T.O. Chisholm. And Brother Sanderson says of this song, he said, I had written the music, but I couldn't come up with acceptable lyrics. And so he sent them to T.O. Chisholm and thought about appropriate words, and Mr. Chisholm came up with these words. And it's become a much used song. But I think about 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12, where he says, I'm grateful. Paul says, I'm grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me because he regarded me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. He says, it's a trustworthy saying and deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost or chief. Yet for this reason I was shown mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Christ Jesus might demonstrate all his patience as an example for those who are going to believe upon him for eternal life. And then Paul just can't help himself but praise in verse 17. Now to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Bring Christ your broken life. I think the Apostle Paul would say, I was broken, but I found whole and completeness in Jesus. And praise God that we can too. Bring Christ your broken life. And then we're going to follow that up with Buried with Christ. We'll have more to say about that after we sing, Bring Christ Your Broken Life.
Bring Christ your broken life, so marred by sin. He will create anew, make whole again. Your empty, wasted years, he will.
properly responding to Jesus involves being immersed in baptism for the forgiveness of one's sins. I think about Romans chapter 6 as I think about the song, Buried with Christ. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound or increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been justified from sin, buried with Christ." Tonight I want you to know that if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, it's always extended. Properly responding to Jesus and his sacrifice involves believing in him as the Son of God, being willing to repent of sin in your life, confessing your faith in him as the Son of God, and being buried with him in the waters of baptism. As always, if you have any questions about that, we'd love to sit down and study with you more. But would you be standing with me as we sing Buried with Christ? I'll have you be seated following this song, and then we'll have just a couple more before we conclude our service tonight. If you need to respond, please let us know, even by coming forward tonight, if we can help you in any way.
Buried with Christ, my blessed Redeemer, dead to the old life of folly and sin. Satan may fall, the world may intrigue me. There is no voice that answers within. Dead to the world, to voices that call me. Living anew.
Conclude tonight by looking at two more songs, and again, just a couple of verses of each. Here's the background that Brother Sanderson wrote of what is perhaps his most well-known hymn, and that is Be With Me, Lord. He says, "Be With Me, Lord, is perhaps my most popular hymn. In Springfield in 1934, I was working on my first hymnal for the Gospel Advocate Company. At about 2 a.m. one Tuesday, a melody came to mind. I found it difficult to get rid of it, so I stopped and wrote it down, lest I forget. Even then, I kept seeing or sensing the harmony, which bothered my work, so I turned and wrote it out completely. It's a rare meter, 11 notes in a phrase, 10 in the next, 11 in the third, and again 10 in the fourth. I couldn't come up with or find words to fit it. About 8 days passed when I received a letter from Thomas O. Chisholm, who had long written words for me. He wrote that he had retired on the same night I was working, and the theme for a poem seemed to command his attention. Finally, after midnight of that same Tuesday, he got up and wrote out the poem. He was sending it to me to see what I thought of it. It was an exact fit for my music. I bought the poem, and the twain have been together since." Be With Me, Lord. One of my very favorites, Be With Me, Lord. Again, we'll sing two verses, and then we'll finish with I'll Never Forsake My Lord.
Be with me, Lord, I cannot live without thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loads of life unaided. I need thy strength to lead myself upon. Be with me, Lord, oh, in loneliness o'ertakes me, oh, when I must weep amid the fires of pain. And oh, it shall come, the hour of my departure, for worlds unknown. Oh, Lord, be with me then.
I wonder how many people have had those words on their lips as they slip from this life into the next. Be with me, Lord. Tonight I want to conclude with, again, one of, I think they're all my favorites. I just like them all. I'll never forsake my Lord. They say it's as easy to sing a lie as it is to tell a lie. I think about that with songs like this one. I'll never forsake my Lord. These are easy words to sing, but we really need to take them to heart. As we go out into the world this week, may these songs be on our lips. May these words be on our lips. I will never forsake my Lord. He has never forsaken me. I want to be with Him. I want to be faithful to Him. What a great challenge it is as we think about these words to go out into the world and live our lives for Him this week. As we encourage ourselves to do, would you be standing, please, as we sing two verses of I'll Never Forsake My Lord, and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer.
Though my cross may be hard to bear,
would pray with me, please. Gracious and mighty Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you. We come before you, Heavenly Father, and we praise your name, for we know that all good things we have come from you. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for the free country that we live in, that we can come to your house and worship you and sing praises to you without fear. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for your knowledge and your wisdom that led you to have a plan for our salvation before we were even brought into existence. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for your love and your grace and your mercy. We know, Heavenly Father, that we often fall short of what you want us to be, and we ask you to forgive our sins, that you'd pick us up when we stumble and fall, that you'd wash over us with the blood that Christ gave so lovingly and willingly. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for his willingness to go to that cross and suffer so much for us. We thank you also, Heavenly Father, for the message that was delivered this evening. We thank you for Adam. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you just help us to remember the things put before us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd go with us as we go out into the world, that we would remember who we belong to and who we are. We pray, dear God, for we know there are many of our congregation that are traveling. We ask that you be with them and keep them safe and bring them home safe. We pray, dear God, that you just watch over us as we go through the rest of the week. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.